This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Kate Delaney on my way to Ireland. That was a bad accent. Welcome to the show. It's all fresh and new, baby, because I'll tell you what, in traveling, you had multiple airlines, Southwest, American, and Delta, where planes were grounded on Monday. Boy, there was a panic in my household. Once again, a computer outage. If you get my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, it's on Amazon.com. I'm actually not pushing it, but in the book, I talk about the fact that I had to drive 17 hours straight through from Dallas to Phoenix because I got caught a couple of summers ago in that Southwest computer crash, and they could just not reroute me anywhere, and I had to be somewhere with the show and speaking on a big stage. So anyway, the FAA said several airlines had this issues with this aero data. It's a program, I guess, that provides weight and balance info that you have to have because you can't take off if you got too much weight in the plane with the cargo, the passengers, etc. Southwest said that the outage for them grounded the flights for about 40 minutes. Dan Latson, who's an airline spokesperson, said that scattered flight delays, they think, will be with Southwest for on and off through the day, apparently. So that was pretty wild for them. I mean, it started right in the morning, and Monday, as you can imagine, is the business person rush. And American, they had a technical issue that impacted a bunch of their regional planes. And they, of course, you know, we all break news on Twitter. They just sent out a thing that said they apologized to the customers for the inconvenience. Because think about this. You're scrambling, running to get a plane. You have to make a connector, and your connector's not leaving. And it's, yeah, so it's pretty bad. And this is an important system, of course, so there's no way. Personally, if I'm on it, I'm going to say, yeah, you do the weight and balance. We know you're not letting us take off. And that's a good thing because people are a little jittery because of the whole jumbo thing. You know, the MAX jet and the Boeing snafus, and still that's not resolved and won't be for weeks and weeks on end. All those planes are grounded, as you know, and that certainly affected Southwest. Meanwhile, how about this cruise ship? We had travelers that were busted for cocaine in chip bags. Boy, if there's a will, there's a way. If you're going to make money, they're thinking of a way to do it. And because I started off talking about the big snafu with the planes, how about this? 12 people were busted for smuggling $2.6 million worth of cocaine in these chip bags and bowls on a cruise from the Caribbean to Portugal last week. So the National Crime Agency, based in the UK, announced that they were split, you know, six women, six men, and this was an alleged drug smuggling ring in Portugal, and that happened just a week or so ago, March 24th. They got 18 kilograms of coke in this whole thing, and the ages of the suspects, 20 to 52, and when this ship, this MSC Opera cruise ship, docked in Madeira, Portugal, four people were on that cruise, and they probably thought they had it made. We're cruising, get it, so to speak, on this cocaine lane, but it didn't happen because they discovered them in ceramic bowls, chip bags, Cheeto puff bags, all kinds of crazy stuff. It, like, reminds me of this movie, Traffic. And I want to say Traffic came out in the 90s. Michael Douglas was in it, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and a whole bunch of other people. But anyway, in the movie, you had these dolls that were made of cocaine, and then it would dissolve, and it would be cocaine. So it's interesting. They were figuring they were getting away with it, but lo and behold, somebody tattled or something else that led to this. And it's again, it's amazing what someone will do when there's money to be made. Now, traveling, I'm sticking with this theme. Were you traveling around in your neighborhood this week or outside of your neighborhood? And did you notice the price of gasoline? The price of an average gallon of regular gasoline has been shooting up. Over the past month, the average is almost 12%. Higher. So it's up to 2.69 in four states. That's not too bad. The price is over three in a lot of places. You know, my pals in California always get snapped hard, and the price there for regular is 3.61. In Hawaii, $3.14. For all of you listening to us on our great station in Portland, Oregon, hello, KPAM, 3.04 in Oregon. Yeah, and I think, well, when we get close to four, forget it, all bets are off. We all pull our bicycles out and tell our friends that we're going to carpool and try to make that happen because we go into a panic. But what's the reason for this? And, of course, global oil, the supply has risen for months, so that drives an increase in crude production from shale fields in the U.S. and Canada. We know this, right? Connect the dots. But it's been offset in the past several weeks by two things. The first is the effort by OPEC and Russia to really constrain their production to try to raise prices and their profits on oil. The other is sanctioned by the U.S. government against Venezuela and Iran for political reasons. So the Iran sanctions are, of course, we know, due to the dispute over nuclear development plans. That's been going on forever. And in the Venezuela case, the issue is, of course, the repressive regime, Nicolas Maduro. We've been talking about that a ton. So when you look, when you sit and you hear things that are happening nationally, like, for example, I'm going to Ireland and I'm in the middle of this trip right now, I'm speaking to you, and Brexit is making them very nervous because you have a split country, obviously. You have the Irish Republic, and then you've got Northern Ireland, which, of course, is on the euro. So it was interesting for me in changing money, getting the euros, and then, of course, going to be in the south as well and having the money for the Irish Republic, too. But this is how it affects us, right? Different things affect us, and Brexit would affect us with trade, etc. And it's really wild to watch what's happening. Pay attention, and of course, in the show, we've had people on, including the ambassador from Ireland to the U.S., talking about what the consequences could be with Brexit. No doubt about that. All right. One last thing, of course, it wouldn't be the show if we weren't kicking it off to talk about Russia in another way, not related to oil, but related instead to this Mueller investigation. So there's a clash that's going to happen, and we know that, between Congress and the Attorney General William Barr over the information, the evidence in this special counsel Mueller's investigation, the whole two-year thing. So Barr right now is in the midst of reviewing the final report. He wants to reveal most of it by mid-April is now what he's saying. And, of course, we'll have all that. I've heard some rumors. The House Dems, of course, they want it sooner. So they're saying their biggest fight won't be over how quickly they can read the report, but whether they can get access to some of the evidence Mueller gathered that didn't lead to the criminal charges. So they want to see, you know, where that, what that, what happened and how it all played out and all that sort of stuff. So the fight really centers on evidence obtained using grand juries. Now, Barr, the AG, says federal law, of course, requires him to keep it secret, even though the government has disclosed in its previous high-profile cases evidence. So the evidence is sensitive because grand juries give prosecutors the power to force reluctant witnesses to testify. Who are those reluctant witnesses? This story and this conflict is going nowhere. How many pages are we going to see? What's going to happen? And again, Barr said on Friday he expects to release the redacted report by mid-April and did say pretty soon everyone's going to be able to read it. So hang through. Coming up next, I checked the mailbox, and boy, we got some good ones, so hang with us.
Number one international best-selling author, Matthew David Hurtado's pain was simple. Lyme disease bankrupted him in 2009, watching bankers take everything from his family after building a seven-figure business from his couch. God called him to ministry to teach prosperity based on pain he could not tolerate in others' lives. IRS, creditors, car loans, debt. It's the Babylonian system, and you have to escape it before it's too late. Haven't you ever wanted to wake up from this nightmare? Matthew David's free quick study guide shows you what to do today to build lasting wealth in any economy. His discovery he made? It's all consciousness. Get Matthew's seven-figure quick study guide for clarity, certainty, and a proven strategy to build wealth once and for all. Visit escaperightnow.com. Do it now. It's free. Escaperightnow.com for a prosperous future ahead with peace of mind. Escaperightnow.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222. Or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Delaney, Making Me Way to Ireland, as I mentioned at the top. Can't tell you how excited I am. And boy, coming up, I'm going to have some great stuff from the Emerald Isle, traveling to the north and going to the Walled City and the Peace Bridge and so much more. And I'm bringing it all to you here in America tonight. If you want to know more about Ireland, go to Ireland.com. They have beautiful maps and talk about the culture and the history. That's what I'm really most excited about. I'm a nut for history, as many of you know, or maybe you don't know, and maybe you like history too, so you can completely relate to that. All right, speaking of history, let's go to the mailbag. A lot of you had things to say sort of about history, including this one from Al, who said, "Hey, Kate, I'm just wondering, years and years from now, when the so-called global Zs look back and they read about some of the things that have happened in the last decade or so, politically speaking, with our government, what will they be thinking?" That's such a loaded question. My nephew is a Z, and I'll tell you this. One thing that's interesting is they're very interested in what's happening politically speaking. He asked me a lot of questions. He sometimes very, very minimal will listen to the show, but I mean minimal, and that's when he's visiting me. But he's pretty smart. He keeps up on what's happening, and he doesn't understand why there's no compromise. He doesn't make sense to him. And I think that when they look back, they'll say, I don't understand why XYZ couldn't be solved. Hopefully they look back and they say, oh, immigration, how come that wasn't tackled earlier? How come there wasn't a way to reach a compromise? How come something didn't happen to prevent the mass problems at the border? And it was all waging war and all about constituents. I think that's one thing. It's always going to be about also what happens with taxes and health care and, you know, things that affect us, things that affect your wallet, things that affect your family, your nation. All right, let's move to another one. This one is from Ralph, and Ralph says, hey, Kate, I thought about you over the weekend. Your big pick of Duke went down. Were you stunned by the fact that Duke is not in the Final Four, especially after they had that close scare, as you mentioned on your show? Yes. I mean, here's your Final Four. You have Auburn, woohoo, good for them, number five. And UVA, great, and they're a great team. You have Michigan State and Texas Tech getting all the way to the Final Four for the first time. So I think Duke falling to Michigan State, they were completely shocked. I mean, you look at Coach K's face in the interviews, and he was stunned. He didn't expect that to happen. You know, this is why they call it March Madness. And I, personally, even though my pick went down, I'm totally thrilled, because to me, if it's going to be, you know, edge of your seat stuff, and it's going to come down to that, and there's going to be heroics, and there's going to be the little guy that rises above and slays the Goliath, well, hey, amen. I'm all for that instead of the status quo. It just seemed that Duke was just insurmountable to me. They were so good during the season, and except for the one blip, they seemed to me like they were rolling in the tournament. So I thought that, yeah, I thought it was going to happen. So yes, I was very, very surprised. All right, we move from that to Stephen, who says, I am so sick of the Mueller report and the evidence and the inquiry and what's going to be redacted and what's going to happen. I mean, listen, I'm iffy on the president. I like some things about him and other things I don't. I will tell you, I voted for him, but I mean, here's the thing. He is right. He was cleared. They cleared him. If they cleared him, they cleared him. So how much money are we spending on redaction, releasing extra reports, and all this other fight that's going to continue, and Congress whining and wanting it? I mean, okay, tell us some more specifics about it. Yes, let the people in Congress know. Fine, great. But the grand juries and the use of the grand juries, whatever. But the bottom line is, Kate, are we going to be talking about this into the summer? I have a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach we could be talking about it all the way through the next election. There's a big saying that goes around right now that I'm sure you've heard. It's called let it go, and they can't seem to let it go. Yeah, this isn't going to go away anytime soon. And depending on what happens in, you know, what happens in that report and what's said in that report is probably how far the, you know, Democrats will take it and how far they can take it and all that other stuff. I mean, you know, we don't know. I mean, I haven't seen the report. I haven't laid eyes on it. I would love to, trust me. And how about this? This one is from Jeff. And Jeff says, you're going to Ireland for reals, or is it an April Fool's prank and you're really hanging at home? No, April Fools. That wouldn't be a good prank. I'm not a great, I can pull pranks, but I'm not a great prankster. You know, April Fools, I think with social media can be interesting, and then sometimes people forget that, sometimes people forget that it's April Fool's and you can pull the wool over their eyes. But we talk about it now so much that, I don't know, what's a good April Fool's prank? I did used to do one thing, because of course we all hate the phone calls that we get where it's like, is this so-and-so and you owe money and whatever. So you're not laughing, you say you're silly. I used to have a friend that was so buttoned up financially. Everything had to be paid before time. The second the bill came in, I mean, boom, which is great. But I changed my voice, called, and said I was looking for her and that she owed, you know, this $1,200 to a credit card company. And I won't say the credit card company, but I said the credit card company, and went through all the conversation of, I need the information now, and give me your bank's information and all this stuff. And I got so far down, and I was so shocked that she actually was going to give me her bank information. And then I screamed, April Fools. Yeah. See, she didn't think it was that funny. I thought it was funny because the reason it worked is because of being so perfectionist and having everything in a row and never messing up and not messing up bills and just willing to easily believe that I can't believe I did this and I'm willing to do something to make it right, you know. Boom, that's it. Okay, so let's take another one. How about this? This one is from Sam I Am, and he said, Kate, when you're traveling, do me a favor and listen to Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla's rap song, and tell me what you think of it. He kind of showed his personality when he posted this weird song on SoundCloud, and I know you know SoundCloud, so go to it and check it out. And it's Rip Harambe, and I think you'll find it interesting, and it's getting a ton of plays, and it's been pumped out all over Twitter. And of course, he is a Twitter hound, so he's got tons of Twitter followers, but he does do some kind of mocking silly things, but I think this one really takes the cake. Listen to it, and when you come back, promise me you'll play it on the show, and I'll tell all my friends to listen to you. Oh, you're bribing me. I love it. We are a nation of bribers, aren't we? Whether it's to get in college or to hear something on the radio. Whoops, that used to be payola. Now we don't do that. Let's go to this one. This one is from Max, who says, Kate, I have been watching Game of Thrones since you started talking about the fact that you were going to go to the Game of Thrones sites, and I am enthralled by that. I hope you're going to post pictures. Please promise me that you'll do that. Well, all these promises. Promise me you'll do that, because I have watched it from the start, and I'm going to watch it all the way to the finish. Love the Dragon Lady. You probably do, too, and the Lannisters, and I can't believe that you're going there. I can't believe either. So finally, GOT, as we call it, is back. So winter is here, and what's the end of the line going to be for Game of Thrones? Of course, we don't know. It's very interesting to sit and try to debate what we think could happen with Game of Thrones. But I am going to be at those locations, and I will post them on Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Just give me some time till I get settled and everything, and then I will post all that stuff. But Game of Thrones sites, I'll post all kinds of pictures of Ireland all over Facebook and Instagram. And so if you go to Kate Delaney Speaker, you'll find my Instagram. Kate Delaney fan page is Facebook. Twitter is Kate S. Delaney. Kate S. Delaney, you'll find me there. And I look forward to it. I'm psyched about going to those sites. And because at first I didn't get Game of Thrones. I didn't want to watch it. And then I kind of got sucked into it because, again, it has this sort of history fantasy thing, and it was one of the fantasy things that actually could grab me, so I did pay attention to it. All right, here's a quick one. This one is from Henry, and he says, Yay, Kate Delaney, I'm so excited that you're going to Ireland. I spent some time in Dublin. You'll love it. You'll see that they're doing lots and lots of things in Dublin, even if you're only there for a day, because they have cranes all over the place with all the building and all the amazing things that are happening. So top of the morning to you, and I hope that you enjoy Ireland. Please share all of your adventures with us. On that note, thank you very much. Stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
A second woman comes forward to say former Vice President Democrat Joe Biden touched her inappropriately. Biden has yet to say he's running for president in 2020, but House Speaker Nancy Pelosi asked about it by reporters on Capitol Hill. She says the accusations don't disqualify him. More now from USA Radio's John Clemens.
The controversy continues to grow even before former Vice President Joe Biden makes it official that he's running for the Democratic nomination for the Oval Office. Now, second woman Amy Lapos has come forward saying, like the previous accuser, Nevada Assemblywoman Lucy Flores, the encounter with the 76-year-old was wrong.
Taking a look now at your money on Wall Street, the Dow up 329 points to close at 26,258. The Nasdaq up almost 100 points, and the S&P 500 up almost 33 points. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The tradition, the suspense, the race. The Kentucky Derby is the pinnacle of horse racing. Rocket Mortgage is giving away 20 VIP trips to witness the Kentucky Derby in person. And one lucky winner will receive $250,000. Use it to purchase your dream home or pay off your mortgage. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com. The fashion, the mint juleps, the parties. This is your opportunity to experience it all firsthand, thanks to the Rocket Mortgage Home Stretch Sweepstakes. Enter for your chance to win $250,000 and one of 20 VIP trips to the Kentucky Derby. The Rocket Mortgage Home Stretch Sweepstakes. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com.
No purchase necessary. 21 years or older. Ends on April 7, 2019. Homestretchsweepstakes.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
To Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
I'm really excited to talk to our next guest, Greg. Tony Capuano joins us. He is the Marriott International Executive VP and Global Chief Development Officer. Tony, so I wasn't just buttering you up. I am a big fan of Marriott hotels. My mother used to stay in them all the time, and so I think sometimes that's a family hand-down. And that's my preferred place to stay. Do you find that you have a lot of loyalty among generations?
We do. As you may know, the company is celebrating its 90th anniversary this year. And so we've got generation after generation of loyal patrons.
And it's really interesting to look at where you are within Marriott International. We're talking with Tony Capuano. He's Marriott International's Executive Vice President and Global Chief Development Officer. As the Global Chief Development Officer, you are looking at obviously a global view of the world, and I would imagine that you have a view of the economics, both of the U.S. and the world, that is really useful for all of us to hear. I mean, you're looking at real estate and global economies in a way that is probably very unique. What are the kinds of things you're seeing when it comes to areas like the rise of mixed-use development, markets that are hot, other markets that may be cooling off? What are the trends that you're seeing in the work you're doing?
Sure. Well, maybe I'll start with mixed use, which is a really interesting and rapidly growing part of our business. We've got over 80 mixed-use projects open and operating around the world, and believe it or not, another 50 under construction. And those projects are on virtually every continent in the world. And I think there are a few trends driving this explosive growth in mixed use. I think number one, you've got broad macro urbanization trends around the world, where you have folks moving back into the urban core, and most of the residential offerings are vertical. When you have a sea of vertical product offerings, that sort of stamp of approval, that brand that is recognized, allows some of these residential projects to stand out from the crowd. If there are a dozen condominium towers going up and one of them proudly flies the Ritz-Carlton flag, that sends a clear message to prospective buyers about the quality of the product, the quality of the service delivery that they should expect, and many loyal Ritz-Carlton Hotel customers are drawn to that product. I think the other big driver of the explosion in mixed use, it is in many markets quite challenging to make the economics of luxury, standalone luxury hotel projects make sense. By layering in a residential component, it lowers the developer's basis in the hotel component and acts actually as an enabler for many of these luxury projects.
Yeah, talk, Tony, a little bit more about mixed use. So when you say mixed use and you talk about these 50 different projects, I imagine they're all very, very different. Give us an example.
Sure. So, and you're right, they are very different. So, for instance, in Bangkok right now, we've got a really interesting project underway. It'll be the tallest building in Bangkok. It's got Ritz-Carlton branded residences, which are currently being sold and doing quite well. And then in a different portion of the tower, there's an Edition Hotel, which is our collaboration with Ian Schrager. So most people think of mixed use through a vertical lens. Then you go to many of the big and emerging cities in mainland China. Mixed use has a very different context. Those tend to be much more horizontal, in many cases, many city block developments with dozens of office towers, residential towers, and hotel and retail towers. So it varies quite widely from region to region.
Well, that's really interesting to hear you talk about. Here's a phenomena called mixed-use development, and I think almost all of us can look in our own towns or cities and see this happening. I imagine there's a lot of things driving it, including, you know, more and more millennials, and I think people who are thinking about retiring want to be in a downtown area. That, I suspect, encourages mixed-use development. But what's interesting about what you just said is I'm wondering now if, on a global perspective, if the kinds of trends you see, for instance, in China are then having an impact on how our future mixed-use developments might look here in the U.S., or maybe things that are happening in Europe will affect how things look here in the U.S. Do you see that our cultures are actually beginning to learn lessons from each other and influence each other?
I do, although I would caveat that response by reminding you of some of the obvious physical limitations in some of the markets you described. So it's quite interesting. If you get on a bullet train between Shanghai and Beijing, it's a fascinating few-hour ride as you see crane after crane after crane and development of these new cities and new towns along that route. You go to more traditional U.S. or European cities where there is just not the availability of greenfield development sites. So it's often in those markets more a matter of adaptive reuse of existing buildings. So, for instance, I'm here in New York today. The Addition Hotel down on Madison Square Park was the adaptive reuse of the old famous MassMutual clock tower.
Hmm.
You know, that's not a hotel you could have built if you were waiting for the availability of a greenfield development site. And those adaptive reuse projects certainly have their own set of challenges, but they are such irreplaceable locations and iconic buildings often that they really offer a really attractive proposition to our partners.
Yeah, so Tony, when you look at adaptive reuse, you just gave us a hint into that, that when it's a historic building and there's a reason certainly to think, gosh, this would be great if we could adapt this. What's the criteria for that for the most part? You must have some checklist you sort of go through.
We do, and as you would expect, it varies widely from project to project. Obviously, it has to be either a use that is already entitled, or we and our partners have to have a high degree of confidence that we can get the appropriate zoning changes. As it relates to hotel use, you need to worry about how the floor plates lay out, where the load-bearing walls, how the window system is lined up, and does a hotel logically and efficiently lay out on the individual floor plates. Oftentimes, there are all sorts of creative solutions you have to come up with for construction staging, because oftentimes these buildings find themselves surrounded on all four sides with occupied operating buildings, and that can create their own set of challenges.
We're talking with Tony Capuano. He's Marriott International's Executive Vice President and Global Chief Development Officer. And it's interesting to hear you talk about these reuses, Tony. And one question that comes to mind for me is, you know, we're living in an age of dying shopping malls. So how do you see that impacting your industry and our communities at large?
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. I always sort of pull back a little bit from the notion of dying shopping malls. But I do think, you know, there are various tiers of retail developments around the country. Some of the biggest, most successful malls continue to thrive and expand. In fact, I was just down in Miami, and the Aventura Mall is just getting ready to open a very significant expansion. But I think for some of the suburban malls, some of the malls that have large footprints, large areas of surface parking, they look for opportunities to reinvent themselves and make themselves attractive to the next generation of retail buyers. And I think adding complementary uses that they believe will drive higher customer volume into their retail centers is of great appeal. My select service development team in North America attends the big shopping center conference in Las Vegas every year, ICSC. And increasingly, we get lots and lots of inquiries from large mall developers talking to us about outparcels they might have on their campus and the opportunity for our partners to develop hotels on those outparcels. And in some instances, they are excited at the prospect of building hotels that are physically connected to the mall. A recent example of that is the new JW Marriott at the Mall of America outside of Minneapolis, where the hotel is actually physically attached to the retail center.
We're talking with Tony Capuano. He's Marriott International's Executive Vice President and Global Chief Development Officer.
Yeah, it's interesting, Tony, you're talking about the JW Marriott's. Do you find, because that's a different kind of place to stay. One of my favorites is in Palm Springs. I go there every year and I stay there, and it's just an amazing property. And sometimes
it's a beautiful hotel.
Frankly, sometimes it's very hard to get into, especially during the tennis, when they have the big open.
Yeah.
Are there just certain places where you know the JW Marriott, wow, this is just going to work, and Palm Springs is one of them?
Yeah, I think all around the world, JW has clearly established itself as a luxury brand. It's kind of introductory luxury as we position it in our brand architecture of 30 brands, and it's a brand that really resonates with our customer. Obviously, the Marriott name is exceedingly well recognized around the world. JW denotes a higher quality of finish, a higher quality of service. And I think particularly in primary markets and in resort destinations, it works really, really well for us.
Yeah. And what a treat to have Tony Capuano on with us. Tony, we'd love to continue this conversation. Will you join us for another segment?
I'd be delighted to.
All right, we'll do that on Forbes Books at Bedtime.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with the story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Flying back from somewhere, you know how it is with me, and I read this great book, Model Marine, Sandra Sykes Meek joins us now. She's the author of that book. And, you know, people know I'm a voracious reader and I love to read. But with the speaking and the show, and of course, as all of you know, I'm pulled on all kinds of directions, sometimes it's hard for me to focus lately. But boy, could I really focus on this one. It was such a great novel, I have to say. So, Sandra, it was a page turner. What a great story and what a novel you have weaved. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. That makes my day hearing you say that. It was a lot of love that went into that. So I hope it was a great read, and I hope it's one of those stories that can relate to a lot of people, or a lot of people can relate to.
Right. And see, I think that's what it is, that a lot of people can relate to it. So when you set out on doing that, you know, this kind of a novel, what was that process like for you?
It was a very long process for me because it was so important for me to get the story right. So when I first conceived this idea, I was still on active duty. I retired in 2010, and I began a master's program for creative writing, and I knew that the story I wanted to tell had to be about the Marine Corps and about women Marines specifically, mostly because I don't think that they are very well known, or I should say not much is known about them. So I worked on my master's program for a couple of years, developed my thesis, but when I was done with it, I wasn't ready to let it go. It wasn't where I needed it to be. So I entered back into the workforce after retiring from the Marine Corps, and I would say it sat on the shelf for about 5 years, and one day I just woke up and said, I have to finish this. And so I wrote like a maniac for about 6 months. That was in 2017, and I spent my weekends and mornings working on the book, and I wanted to bring in a lot of different themes. I wanted people to know about traumatic brain injury. I wanted people to understand what the combat experience is like. In our era of war, and so I think it was a lot of attention to detail and just a lot of time spent making sure that I got the story right. And I also wrote the story in a way so that people who were reading it, they had to put the puzzle pieces together, a lot like people who have traumatic brain injury do.
Wow. And that's what I think made it really so unique. So that's pulling all the aspects of it together, right? So the narration, the plot, the symbolism, all of that went into this really giant puzzle. Is that what it was like?
Yes, it was. And sometimes I would get confused in the writing process, and I'd say, oh, my goodness, I have this character doing the wrong thing right now. So, yes, it was a puzzle that needed to be put together. I wanted the reader to experience that feeling that people who have traumatic brain injury and PTSD experience. So, and I also wanted to give readers multiple perspectives so that they understood this combat experience from several sides of the story. And I hope I did that.
Yeah. So that's it. So the vantage point of what you think, what you're showing, and what an individual thinks, because we all have a different way of pulling something in and then thinking what that means and what the perception of truth is, right?
That's right. We all think truth is black and white, but I believe it's definitely gray, and it's definitely influenced by our perception. You know, our vantage point, what we're seeing, it can look completely different to someone from a different vantage point.
Boy, isn't that the truth? I think that's why it really resonated with me, because I'm definitely a gray person, too. I agree with you. It's not black and white. Tell us a little bit about your experience. You did a little, you know, mentioning what happened and putting it on the shelf and that kind of thing. What was your experience like as a Marine for you?
Oh, I love the Marine Corps. It wasn't black and white either. there were things about the Marine Corps that are very special to me, the sense of family. I can see any Marine from any time, any era. And we established that we were both Marines. We talk about when we served, where we served, who we served with, and we have an instant bond. I think the Marine Corps is a very unique organization, and I think it brings out the best in a lot of people. But that doesn't mean it always does. And there's always going to be a little bit of negative in every organization. And I wanted to be honest about that in this story. I wanted to be truthful in how I represented the Marine Corps. And I would say that overall my experience was great. I got to go on a couple of combat deployments, and I also married a Marine who also went on a couple of combat deployments. And we had a family together in the Marine Corps. And so it was a very unique experience. And I would say that there are some parts of that story where similar events that occurred in that story happened or I observed, you know, in my time in the Marine Corps. But I would say that there's always three sides to every story.
Yeah. Boy, isn't that the truth? There always is different. There's different sides to every story. Who knows how many sides there are, actually. And in reading this, and you said it a little bit, for sure, what do you really hope your impact is with the novel? I mean, obviously, want people, like I said in the beginning, I really enjoyed it. There was a story there. Because ultimately, when you write a novel, it's about keeping our attention, pulling us through it, making us get to the end and feel something. What do you hope that the readers take away from reading Model Marine?
I hope they better understand veterans. I hope that readers understand and remember that many of us can have different opinions and different perspectives, and we can still be a family. You know, I would like to think that my characters had very different opinions on things, but it was evident that they operated as a team, and in a lot of ways they were a family. And that goes for, you know, the civilians in the story as well. We all have a place we're coming from, and I just wanted people to understand the military experience, understand how the Marine Corps is, what it's like for a woman in the Marine Corps, and understand that we all need to be a little more understanding of each other. is really what it boils down to.
Wow, well said. And we're speaking with Sandra Sykes Meek. The book is called Model Marine. Have any of your, as you said, you're like a family. Have any Marines that you serve with? Did you send the book to any of them?
Yes, I have. Yes. So I keep in touch with several of the Marines that I served with, and they're closer than family, a lot of them. And even though we haven't seen each other in years, you know, anytime I travel and I'm in a location where I know that one of my former Marines is there, I'm going to go and see them. So, yes.
Yeah. So here's the question. What did they tell you? Did they love it?
So the female Marines that I have received feedback from have all said they loved it. I've not received any negative feedback from any Marine, actually, male or female. And I hear things, I get comments like, it reminded me of boot camp, or it reminded me of, you know, such and such deployment, or, you know, it just takes them back to that experience that most of us really treasure.
Yeah, I mean, again, the character's wonderful. Is this something you'd continue? Would you do another novel?
Absolutely. I want badly to write another novel or several. What my problem is that I haven't decided on what's next. I have short stories in development that have nothing to do with the Marine Corps, and I have some outlines of other stories that I'd like to develop. But I believe that if Model Marine does well and people really connect with those characters, that's a story I would like to consider, you know, doing a series on.
Yep. Well, I loved it. Sandra Sykes Meek, pick up the book. It's called Model Marine, Amazon, etc. That's where you can get it. And thanks to you and thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, Kate.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on.
The Tehebo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tehebo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tehebo tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.